You're listening to Never Sleeps Network.
Welcome back to The Express with Bilal Bokhani and Daniel Shahori. Could WrestleMania XL give us the greatest WrestleMania moment of all time? Dan, we'll jump right into this. Last year, I was talking with you, I was talking with Diamond Dallas Page, I was talking with a lot of people about Cody finishing the story, and that's winning the Royal Rumble and then defeating Roman Reigns for the undisputed WWE Championship. Here we sit almost exactly a year later, and he could do it again. And yet, if he does it when he wasn't able to do it last year, I think it could be the greatest moment in the history of WrestleMania, if not one of them.
One of them, especially of the modern the era, like the last, let's say, 20 years. But the biggest, that's subjective. It depends on who you are, when you saw it. A lot of people, it'll be tough to top Hogan and Andre. Yeah, a lot of people, it'll be tough to top Rock Hogan at the Rogers Center. There's a lot of cool moments, but this will absolutely be one of them.
It's interesting because, and at the very end of this, I want to get your picks in terms of who you think the six biggest locks to win are. And I'm doing that very selfishly because there's a mode in WWE Supercard now where you make predictions and you get cards. So I'm just like, I'm asking everybody I talk to wrestling about this now. But you're going to have The Rock and Roman teaming up on Saturday to take on Cody and Seth Rollins, who's the World Heavyweight Champion. The speculation I've seen from our friends at What Culture, because I borrow some of their takes, they're quite funny, is you're probably going to have Roman and The Rock win on Saturday night in that main event to set up the bloodline rules on Sunday. It makes a lot of sense, because what's the point of teasing a stipulation? You know, if Cody and Seth win, the bloodline has to get involved less directly. Like, it's not a great selling point.
Well, they teased the stipulation just because they needed a real... Why would you do this match? As in, I think they just needed this... solidify a reason to do the match, because otherwise, because we know what the real reason is, like you know that Rock was going to do a match. They realized that the fans weren't happy going in that direction, where Rock versus Roman, that is that direction, so they made a quick compromise, and it's probably for the best, because the Rock probably shouldn't be doing a one-on-one match anyways. But they needed a reason, so So what you're saying, you're thinking that it's a foregone conclusion that Roman and Rock win this.
Yeah, I think they win. I think there's just enough of tension between The Rock and Roman that if Roman does lose or requires help on Sunday, you can still do The Rock versus Cody, which seems like if you don't do that in next year's WrestleMania, you can do The Rock and Roman, but it seems like either of those are going to happen, or maybe both will happen next year. Maybe The Rock will be in better shape. He'll do two matches at next year's WrestleMania. Like, it seems so destined to be. It's hard for me to slice, okay, they lose, and then they lose again. It doesn't make sense.
I think I agree. I think it's going that way, but it won't be. I mean, just because I think that they want to get more people involved in that, the match on Sunday night. You know, you might have heard some rumors of that other people that might show up, like John Cena and Austin and such. So just to justify all of this. But again, I also won't be shocked if they go the other way, where somebody does something to cost the bloodline the match, whether it's Rock turning on, because they they gotta start planting the seeds as to why. Why Rock and Roman aren't on the same page anymore. So that's the reason, or that could be the reason, right?
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. The other part of this is Seth Rollins is also going to defend his title against Drew McIntyre. This one's really interesting, because you would imagine if CM Punk wasn't hurt, this would at least be a triple threat, if not a one-on-one match. And yet, I think Drew's the favorite in this match, because Seth has had a terrific reign. But it has transformed from, you know, he's the workhorse champion that's going to defend it all the time anywhere, to his back's kind of shot and maybe needs to go away a bit after this. And quite honestly, you know, when I look at those posters for Money in the Bank, I don't know if I see him on those posters. I don't remember fully, but I think it's very possible he works these two nights and then maybe we don't see Seth Rollins for a little while.
I could see that. And I wonder, like, do you think that Drew leaves the building champion, or is there a cash in?
Well, here, okay, so the cash in is, I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to forget. You could do that. I hate that I'm saying this. I think the better cash in option is to cash in on Cody. You're at night two.
Oh.
Cody's so good on the chase, and he wins it only for Priest to cash in. And now the lose? Dominic's kind of, you
cash
know.
Cash in and lose, maybe?
I think cash in and win. I think what a, like, people are going to be so caught up in that moment. He finally finishes the story, but the cliffhanger is that there's a successful cash in, and the Judgment Day walks out of there with the championship. And, you know, now they're running roughshod over SmackDown. I think that's the way to go. I just think that's, because you have CM Punk. He's going to show up at some point and come for McIntyre on Raw. I don't think you need to do it there.
I don't look, I can see that as a possibility. I don't see them doing it. No, I can see it.
Okay.
But at the same time,
I can see it not happening.
It's such a, after all of that, and they do it for like 10 seconds. Well, because it's like the same thing that they did with Dusty. They let him hold that belt and they took it away from him for a different reason. But yeah, damn. I just don't want to see it. I would groan. I would.
Yeah. It'd be, I'd be interesting. Happy if I'm wrong.
It would just be like, oh, okay.
Well, let's stay with the Judgment Day. Rhea Ripley's going to defend that Women's World Championship against Becky Lynch. And mm-hmm. quite honestly, Dan, of all the matches on this card, this, I think, is the hardest to call. Like, I actually think of this match, I'm almost right down the middle. I can see the arguments for Rhea Ripley. Andrade is kind of hanging around the Judgment Day. There's a future Charlotte match there. But I could see Becky having this title. And, you know, you saw all the stuff she did with that NXT title. Or you might not. You don't watch NXT as much as me. But she did a lot. And she could very easily do that on Raw. Candice LeRae is developing as a very prominent heel who's getting regular TV time. There's a program there. Indy Hartwell could follow. You know, Shayna Baszler, Zoe Stark. Like, there's a lot of chapters you could write with the Becky Lynch championship right now. And Rhea has no shortage of things to do with the Judgment Day as well.
Are you clamoring to get the belt off of Rhea?
I'm 50-50. Like, I think all I'm trying to put out there is that I actually think the probabilities of the stories you can tell, and probabilities is the wrong word, I think you can tell equally good stories either way you go, which is a credit to the booking. And, you know, that point about Rhea Ripley, you can do Rhea and Charlotte without the title. You can do Becky Lynch and Candice LeRae without the title, but you can do it with the title too.
I know Rhea's had it for so long, but I feel like she's just getting going. And I think her popularity is now at a new level. And you put it on Becky, but Becky is cool. Like, I'm not going to be upset either way, but Becky doesn't need it because Becky is one of the most popular people on the whole roster. Right.
Yeah.
But Rhea is still, I think she says a lot of light, and I would like to see a face turn while she's holding the belt and have her go after all the heels. Like, she should turn face at this point. Dominic is almost ready to turn face with her. I mean, there's a lot, but I would prefer they keep it on Rhea, because there's a lot more to do with her left as champion.
Okay. Very interesting. Maybe a different case with WWE Women's Champion Io Sky. She's facing Bayley. I really, you know, and at the end of this, Dan, I want your kind of six people, and they can be tag teams in the same match. There's a trio we're going to talk about at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I think of everybody on this card, and most of the betting odds are with me, I think Bayley's the safest bet. Like, I'm really not 100% on Cody. I'm not 100%. I'm pretty high on The Rock and Roman on that first night, but I just think that SmackDown roster is ready for a bunch of Bayley programs. And she's in this beautiful in-between of a babyface and a heel. Some of the babyfaces like her, some of them don't. You look at Bianca and Naomi's different relationships with her. Jade Cargill is a complete toss-up. She isn't. Mm-hmm. She could be her ally or her enemy after this. And Damage Control is a very dominant faction. I don't know how much more you can do with Io Sky at this point, short of, you know, a Jade Cargill and a Naomi program. But those are not bad programs as well.
So I feel the same way about Io as I do about Rhea. I feel that she's just getting going. However, it's trending in a different direction with Io. Like, I don't feel she's done anything. I don't feel like she's done anything notable. She's just kind of lost in this group, and she's the champion. That's just how I feel about it. So it's like, either maybe give her a big WrestleMania win just to build her up more, or I don't know. Like I feel like this will be a very forgettable title reign. And yeah, give it to Bayley, great. But again, Bayley is another person who doesn't necessarily need it. Like, just same. It's almost the same thing. It's just that I feel one should hold on to it, and one I feel both of them should hold on to it for different reasons. Rhea, because she's just getting going and there's so much to do with her, and Io is because she hasn't done anything with it yet.
Logan Paul is going to defend his US title, not just against Randy Orton, but Kevin Owens. I said Io to me feels like the easiest championship I could see flipping over. This one's like a coin flip. If you had a three-sided coin, I think you can make arguments for both. I think Orton could have an interesting run with this title. Kevin Owens has done it before. There's potential symmetry there with Sami Zayn. What a great moment that would be. But if you have Logan Paul and he wants to stick around, it's possible.
If he wants to stick around, keep it with him. Randy Orton does not need the U.S. title. Sure. Kevin Owens does not need the U.S. title. Logan Paul doesn't need the U.S. title, but it's great on him. There's so much more to do with this. If he's willing to stick around, and I think he is, especially like when Prime is going to have that nice big logo on the mat. He's all in, as far as I know. So keep it on him. Both those guys don't need it. They can Randy and Kevin just cancel each other out, and Logan will get the steal of victory.
Another one that I thought I knew, and now I'm having second thoughts, is Gunther defending his Intercontinental Championship against Sami Zayn. I think going into this, you thought whether it was Sami or Chad Gable, you know, Gunther is just going to take this. But now you do have the potential of, if Sami was to win, he could face Chad Gable. And that's a really interesting program. But if he wasn't going to win, you could definitely call up Dragunov, and you could definitely run back those NXT UK classics that were match of the year contenders. I used to be so sure of one, and I was thinking of the other one now. Do you have a sense, or is this one, you know, there's great arguments for either side?
I don't have a sense. I have a hope. Mm-hmm. I want Gunther to retain, and I want Gable to. I don't want Gable to beat Sami Zayn for that belt. I want Gable to beat Gunther for that belt. That's what I want. Or not at all, right? So then Dragunov. If Gable not at all.
Yeah,
because it's more Gunther than that belt that he needs to beat, right? So taking it off of Sammy is not going to feel the same. So I hope it'll be more interesting with Sammy if he loses, because he will either spiral into something else, so that's what I'm hoping for. I don't know if that'll happen. I can't really get a sense of what's going to happen. I hope Gunther wins.
I'm wearing an Uso shirt, and we're finally getting Jimmy versus Jay. Mm-hmm. And I spoke to Diamond Dallas Page on my show, which you can hear this weekend on SiriusXM. And I told him, I never thought I would own three Uso shirts, but one and done, day one, yeet. They're great shirts. And they come on sale pretty quick. What is your sense? And I'm not going to use this term again. I would think Jay wins this, but is there a good chance that maybe Jimmy surprises us and wins it, and this is kind of a springboard for him to be a better, bigger character?
Does he win it cleanly?
I'm not saying cleanly.
I think Jimmy's going to win this.
Oh.
And I think by the end of the weekend, they're both going to be back on the same page regardless.
Really?
I feel this has been built, like it's been built up for a long time, yet it really hasn't. Like, I feel like this is, I don't know. I think a lot of the air got let out of the tire for me at the Rumble, where they two of them fought for so long, and like I almost had my fill of that then, right? I don't really need to see this match, but I think they're going to be on the same page by the end of the weekend.
Okay, very interesting. And you can forgive my dodging eyes, there's a couple of matches I almost forgot were on WrestleMania, and I'm adding them as we speak. We're gonna see LA Knight versus AJ Styles. You'd think this would be the vehicle to put LA Knight over at this point.
Yes. Over a heel AJ? Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And he needs that. Like, again, he's a guy that unfortunately has been lost in this build when The Rock and Punk came back. And it's because LA, man, LA Knight had such momentum. It's not like he's cooled off so much. I mean, the fans still like him, but he has cooled off in regards to the focus they've given to him. So I hope at the very least he gets this win.
We've also got the Judgment Day defending their undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships in a six-pack ladder match against The Miz and R-Truth, Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods, A-Town Down Under, the New Catch Republic, not to be confused with Drew Gulak's, whatever it is, and DIY. You would think The Miz and R-Truth would be the way to go here, but certainly, you know, Triple H loves DIY. The New Catch Republic is getting a fairly good push. Do you still think it's The Miz and R-Truth? Because you just imagine R-Truth would have some hilarious finish, like he picks up one belt and The Miz has already pulled down both belts. He's like, no, Truth, you need to get the other one. And you, like, it could be a great WrestleMania moment.
Do you call back to, do you remember when he had a ladder phobia back in the day?
I forgot about that, but it's coming back.
So they have to bring that back, right?
Yeah, they should.
Because it's a ladder match. So, yeah. But I think that place, I could see them giving it like more for The Miz than R-Truth, like giving him a mania moment for being such a good soldier, but him as well. But then I would say Awesome Truth, Gargano and Ciampa, and then New Catch Republic. Those are my top three in that order.
I want to shout out a match because it's actually not on the WWE website right now. And I was double checking to see they actually missed this, but they have Damage Control, Dakota Kai, Asuka, Kairi Sane. They're going to be taking on Jade Cargill, Naomi, Bianca Belair. This was sort of the finishing angle of that SmackDown, the SmackDown before SmackDown WrestleMania. I honestly didn't know it was Raw WrestleMania until about 10 minutes into Raw. It was kind of slipped in there. Jade and them should win, right? Because I think Asuka's a little hurt. The tag titles aren't on the line. You don't even necessarily have to give them the tag titles after. Like, this is a free pass.
There's no belts on the line. It's a nothing trios match out of nowhere with Jade Cargill's debut. You're going to ask me about my lock? That's my first lock is Jade Cargill, of course.
Well, that's three locks because in WWE Supercard, I'm going to put all three of them down.
If you're counting all three of them, then yes, those are my three locks. Of course.
So would you say... We'll do the last few matches. I want to come back and then try to epitomize this for the whole card. We're also going to get the Final Testament taking on the Street Profits and Bobby Lashley. Right. Triple H is very into this. I like elements of it. I think it says something that we're getting Selena Vega versus Electra Lopez on SmackDown. We're not getting B-Fab versus Scarlett. So this is kind of like a lesser version of that, but it's still happening.
This, unfortunately, is no offense to any of the folks involved. This is my least interested match.
Most people.
I think you're forgetting one more with the LWO and
I'll throw that one in. Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee taking on Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio.
I want to see this.
And this is a good vehicle because I didn't have Dragon Lee being part of this. I actually thought they would pick Carlito and then he gets attacked and then
or Andrade
later. Yeah, or Andrade. I think this is a really good vehicle to elevate Dragon Lee because I think you've done what you're going to do with Santos. I don't think him winning here does more. I think he's already got one over on Rey Mysterio. I think he'll always have that. But if Dragon Lee pins, even if it's Dominic, just for the heat and the reaction and, you know, that kind of passing the torch moment, I just think that's not a huge WrestleMania moment, but maybe one we'll look back on. And it'll help solidify Dragon Lee as the next Rey Mysterio.
It could very well be a huge WrestleMania moment. And I think he must know this. There's going to be a lot of pressure on Dragon Lee. But he's going to have a good showing. Or at least he's going to do his damnedest.
I'm going to try to wrap this up in a bit here. But let's go back. And in terms of the biggest locks you have, in terms of six people, I think I agree with you with Jade Cargill, Naomi, Bianca Belair. I think Bayley's won. After that, I actually think you play the odds and you go with The Rock and Cody because they each have a match. Or sorry, The Rock, Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. So I think you can argue that they each win a match, and therefore you have six people who win matches. Would you agree with that, or would you switch some of those out there in terms of the six people you think will win the most? And again, I'm doing this selfishly to help myself in WWE Supercard, but also my wife.
Would I switch? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's, I don't think anything other than Jade Cargill.
Yeah.
I don't think anything's a lock. Like I'm saying, like, you could go, I wouldn't be shocked by any outcome, including to me, like, if you asked me a week ago, I would have said Cody's a lock on night two. He's going to win this.
Yeah.
They're going to, but I'm not positive about that either right now.
It's so tricky because you could make the argument Seth Rollins is in two matches, but I actually think he's going to lose both matches. I don't think he's, even though you've got two chances, I'd be really sincerely surprised if he wins either of those matches. But still, he could. And I give Triple H a lot of credit. And I think, you know, there's so much wrestling, we become numb to it. This is one of the best WrestleManias, at least in recent history, and could go down as one of the best of all time.
I haven't been excited for WrestleMania. This year it seems a lot more exciting. The build has been great. It's been because it's been the best build in a long time. Yeah. Of course he's The Rock, but I mean, he's really stepped up. He's really given it all. He's brought a new dimension to that character. Mm-hmm. And even though Roman feels outshined next to him, it's like, it's still added immensely to my interest in the whole product.
I know you wanted, and this was a surprise to even me, to talk about the SmackDown, WrestleMania SmackDown Battle Royale.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, A, we tape it way before SmackDown, and B, it is a significant spot. You start to look at the winners in the past. Some of them have gone on to do some great things. Some of them, like Baron Corbin, are still kind of fluctuating between NXT and the main roster, but still doing great things, to be fair. Who do you have here? There was an angle on Raw where, you know, Andrade had this interaction with JD McDonagh, and the idea was he would take out Ricochet. And I think we could all see they take out Ricochet, and then he takes out McDonagh, or maybe he takes out McDonagh first, but the guy just wins this. And maybe that's Andrade's face turn, or the teasing of that, which we really haven't seen. But I think, Dan, that's the best use of this battle royal, or is there another situation you had in your mind?
I feel it's going to be Andrade unless Bron Breakker is announced for this, which I don't believe he is right now. If Bron Breakker becomes into this match, which he hasn't been announced, then I go with Bron, otherwise Andrade for sure.
Yeah, that would be a great surprise if they were to add Bron Breakker. I'm going to try to find the graphic really quickly here. I don't think WWE's put it too prominently. And then quickly, Dan, before we go, I did want to give a chance to shout out NXT Stand and Deliver, because that will be a show as well this weekend. Mm-hmm. But more seriously, you know, you've got Carmelo Hayes taking on Trick Williams. Carmelo, a guy who's already on that SmackDown roster. We mentioned Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin. They're going to be featured in a tag team title match. It could be Ilya Dragunov's last match in NXT. I know the reporting seems to say contrary, but I feel like that's a red herring. I have a feeling he's going to show up on the Raw after SmackDown, a Raw after WrestleMania, and take on Gunther, if not in the months that follow. I don't know if you'll watch that full show, but certainly some names of the future to be a part of it.
I'm not averse to watching the show. There's a lot happening that weekend, including the Hall of Fame, which will be a draw unto itself. But I'm not averse to it. I mean, I like to take in as much as I can for WrestleMania. I will put a time, especially if I hear about, if something, I might not watch it live, but I'll get around to watching certain matches for sure.
Yeah, it just becomes so much with, you've got the two nights of WrestleMania. I think you're going to skip through a lot of the pre-shows. And again, I would recommend people DVR it. There's a lot of filler started late. And yeah, it's a crazy, I don't honestly know, Dan, when I'm going to watch NXT Stand and Deliver. I think my wife has a friend of hers who's got a wedding. I may watch it on the phone on my way to the wedding is what might happen. And on the way back, because I don't know when there's going to be time, or it might be on the toilet. Like, I might just, when I do bathroom breaks, like, there's so much happening. It is crazy, but thank God we live in an era where it's a two night WrestleMania and not a one night WrestleMania. Cause we know how that ended.
8 hours later. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Dan, anything else you want to say before we go here? I know we're trying to cram all of WrestleMania weekend into a singular podcast, but it's almost done.
I'm surprised that we did through all that. But yeah, no, that's, I'm excited for it. I think, yeah, I think, oh, one thing I was going to ask you, if it's not so much a rumor, but a fan projection of the possibility of somebody showing up in the last match being MJF. Have you heard this possibility?
I haven't heard this, but I've heard versions of this. I believe Tony Khan has indicated that MJF is just maybe not healthy and is going to come back. So just knowing Tony Khan, I don't think he would allow for that. Like, I don't think he would.
You would think that, but then you hear a lot of things Mr. Punk said yesterday, and you got to question what Tony Khan would do and what he wouldn't do in certain situations.
Where specifically did they say he would show up
Cody?
Wow, there is that link.
Or to mess with Cody.
Yeah, which would make a lot of sense too.
Imagine that. Yeah.
Look, that would be something astronomical. And I think especially when you look at the way they've booked Cody, presented Jade Cargill, not so much Lexi King, but very much so Sean Spears, though. They have taken, and Spears is the best case study because he was Ty Dillinger in NXT. He is a very different character. He was the perfect 10. He was in Royal Rumbles as the perfect 10, and WWE re-signed him and were like, well, we like the AEW version better than our version, which is not that old. It's maybe 5 or 7 years older.
I'm surprised they did that. They allowed him to be Sean Spears, yeah.
Yeah, and I think, I don't even know if it's so much, to some extent, it's a credit to AEW for the music and the development they've put in, but it is also an endorsement of these people. Cargill's a bit different because she came in herself, but Cody and Sean Spears, what they were able to do when given more freedom to develop their characters, because I'm sure somebody will come through and they'll say, no, we don't like that version. We want the WWE version inevitably. And maybe Matt Hardy will be that person very soon. But yeah, it'll definitely resonate, right? Because I think we've seen with CM Punk, not every little thing resonates, but top shelf AEW stars absolutely resonate with the WWE audience. And, you know, there's a lot of room to lean into that even now after all they've done.
So. Exciting times.
Oh, that's one to think about. Dan, thank you for this as always. I know AEW is adding pay-per-views rapidly, so we'll probably have to do more of these in the future. But yeah, always great to talk to you and enhance my WrestleMania weekend even more.
Likewise, thank you.
Never Sleeps Network. This has been a Never Sleeps Network production, executive produced by Alex Ross. For more information and content, visit neversleepsnetwork.com.